Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Michael Curry is here with us. He's head of the Boston branch of the NAACP. And this week, Curry and other black leaders in the city said they plan to file a complaint with the U.S. Attorney's Office demanding a more thorough investigation of the racial climate at the historic Boston Latin School and an investigation into the school administration's response to allegations of racism. And this comes after Boston Public Schools' Office of Equity released the results of its own investigation, which found that between November 2014 to January 2016, there were 7 incidents related to race at Boston Latin, and that the school's internal policy was violated in one of those incidents. But as mentioned, Curry and others are not satisfied with the BPS investigation and are calling for a federal inquiry. Michael Curry joins us now. Mr. Curry, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
And listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Do you think the Boston Latin School should be investigated by the Justice Department? And if so, what would that accomplish? How does the school, how does this district move forward with these very important questions about climate and racism in Boston schools in the 21st century? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Michael Curry, let me just start with the most basic of questions. Why is it that you are not satisfied with BPS's investigation and are calling for a U.S. attorney's investigation?
Yeah, so, we have more information than most people. If you think about it, the issue with the binders was given to the headmaster and the administration late 14.
The binders that contained evidence
the tweets,
of
the social media
of
tweets.
Racist tweets, yeah.
And at that point hadn't really been parsed out to figure out what was a student, a former student, or a non-student. And we were concerned and wanted an investigation into those tweets. Counselor Jackson was notified in January of this incident. We were notified by February of 2015. And there was very little action by the administration to look into to these issues. The problem is at the same time the tweets were happening, around that same month, there was an issue with a young black girl who was threatened by a student and called a racial slur and threatened with lynching.
Right. So this was the incident that the Office of Equity's report
That's
said
correct.
was a failure of in terms of how the administration responded to that.
Exactly.
But I'm going to come back to that incident because it's very serious. But regarding the tweets, I mean, the Office of Equity's report said that Boston Latin School administrators determined that most of the offensive tweets or remarks were made by people who live outside of Massachusetts and were not Boston Latin students, so therefore perhaps their lack of action was warranted.
Right. So, we've said to them that their report often references adequacy. And we say that that's too low of a standard for the city school that espouses excellence, that wasn't an adequate response. They did not respond appropriately to the young ladies. Even today, the young ladies will tell you that there's been no follow-up. Whenever they're told something, the headmaster doesn't really follow up on it. When they did have a school convening to talk about it, it wasn't mandatory. It was, whether you decided to come or not as a student. There are other issues in the school where she's convened all students to address issues. She did not do it in this case. So there is a issue. I'll call that the smoke. But what the smoke is leading us to is the fire. The fire is the case that we talked about. I got another case today from 2008 that I think as the details unfold, people will find equally as egregious. There are other stories starting to come out, and I think that is the point of an investigation, is to get to those stories. And I believe BPS did not follow the leads to these other stories.
So you believe they did not follow the leads to those stories? Because I was just going to ask you, why couldn't that investigation be continued? So let me back up. I know that Superintendent Tommy Chang has said the investigation is complete, but why not instead of calling for the DOJ to look into this, encourage Boston Public Schools and the Office of Equity to reopen its investigation? Why can't we keep it inside the city here?
Well, what's funny is, it's about faith, right? So I go back to the sequencing of events. Tito asked for a thorough investigation in February of last year. I asked for an Office of Equity investigation in February, March of last year. McDonough, the superintendent at that time, chose not to fully engage the Boston Office of Equity as it had been a year ago prior to that with Latin Academy, my alma mater, where they went in, investigated a discrimination complaint that we filed with Latin Academy, and it resulted in some change of leadership at Latin Academy. In Boston Latin School's case, the Office of Equity was not fully engaged. And then they went a whole year of ignoring the tweets. They didn't even know about the case of the young lady threatened. The superintendent did not even find it relevant enough while this story of the binders was going on to say to Superintendent McDonough and then Chang, you know what? I should probably tell you about another case that's relevant to this issue of racial climate. They did not know about it until I called them in February and told them of this year, a year and some months after the incident.
Well, you're facing some resistance here from city leaders. I mean, as you know, just yesterday, Mayor Marty Walsh said that he doesn't believe a federal probe is necessary. And in fact, he has vowed to take the lead to resolve the current dispute regarding Boston Latin by launching an internal review out of his own office.
Well, you know, I appreciate the mayor, and I know the mayor and I plan to talk very soon. The issue for us as a civil rights organization is we alerted them to the issues last year, okay, a year ago. And that investigation didn't happen until Maggie and Kylie were brave enough to do a video on Martin Luther King's birthday of January 2016. And that inspired them to then initiate an investigation.
These are the two students.
Right. Yeah. So this is almost a year later. So the reality for us is that their scope of their investigation was too narrow. It was not thorough enough. And we are now calling on an external source, in this case, the Office of Civil Rights, to investigate this matter. And what's critical about them is they can go back in the crates. They can look at these cases that are older. They can see whether there's a pattern in practice, a behavior, a treatment of students of color dating back as far along as we can find evidence of.
Have you filed your official complaint with the U.S. Attorney's Office yet?
So we're not calling it a complaint. So we're filing a letter requesting the Office of Civil Rights take a look at this matter, and we'll be doing that later today. There's a collection of civil rights groups, so it's not just the NAACP. We've signed on, and I think we're just making some last-minute edits to the document, and it should be out today.
Okay. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit more about some of the recommendations, at least, that came out of the Office of Equity's report, because, you know, they talked about getting Superintendent Tommy Chang to enhance protocols and procedures at Boston Latin, improve the culture and the climate of the school, sustain an anti-racism initiative, and then also, of course, train students and staff both at Boston Latin and across the district
right.
about racial awareness and cultural proficiency, et cetera. I mean, are those adequate to you?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's always this, the silver lining to this is that there are things that Black Educators Alliance of Massachusetts, Lawyers Committee, Boston NAACP have been asking for years that, quite frankly, now become a priority. So cultural competence, racial sensitivity or racism training has been requested for years. We've been asking that it be done across the district. It looks like that now might be a possibility. I think one of the things we've advocated for when Superintendent Chang came on was the Office of Equity should report directly to you. Because we've found from our experience that when there's a layer between the Office of Equity and the superintendent, there's not a quick response to these issues. So they seem to be now on the move to allow the Office of Equity to report directly. And then one other point, the cases should not just require you, if you've experienced some discrimination, some experience with racism, to come to the Office of Equity. If it's reported to them, they have a responsibility to go investigate it. And everyone in the district should know that they're the center for any complaint that comes up. And no one knew that over the last few years.
Well, we're talking with Michael Curry. He is the president of the Boston chapter of the NAACP. He and other Black leaders around the city of Boston are reaching out to the Department of Justice to expand an investigation into allegations of racism at Boston Latin School. And by the way, we did reach out to Boston Latin School, also to the Boston Public Schools and to Superintendent Tommy Chang. And no one was able to join us from those groups on the show today. Michael Curry, let me ask you, I mean, you know that there is a lot of focus now, not just on Boston Latin School, but the leadership there with Headmaster Lynn Mooney Tita. And there was a letter written by parents and some alumni of Boston Latin in support of her. And in this letter, they said that, quote, permitting Dr. Mooney Tita to be tried in the court of public opinion by those who are not familiar with her efforts and with no direct interest in Boston Latin or its future is counterproductive and worse, smacks of a witch hunt. What's your response?
Black parents and black alum called me when they released that letter, and they were disgusted by that letter. So there's a lot wrong in that letter. One is, I think they need to know the history of the Boston NAACP. The equity that we currently have in the Boston Public Schools was a result of the advocacy of this organization that actually even resulted in the black students and students of color that are in that school, and even the quotas around how many teachers or the thresholds and how many teachers are in that school of color. So we advocated for that because historically we did not have the same access to those schools. Two, it's disturbing to me that they thought that it's public witch hunt. Because here's the issue. The issue is if Headmaster Tata had handled this matter when it was first brought to her, the binder, if Headmaster Tata had handled the case of the young lady that was threatened, if she had filed the police report or had the family follow up on the police report that was filed, if she had suspended or taken action against the young man in that case, if she had provided services to that young woman, and if she had maybe looked at the culture and climate then, we would not even be here now discussing this. So we've got given her a year to really handle these things, and she is not.
You know, there is a great deal of history that's led up to this moment, and I'm very cognizant and mindful of that history. And I'm not just talking about the past year. I'm talking about Boston
right
through the decades. But I'm also feeling a lot of emotion surrounding this moment because you and the Boston NAACP wrote a letter in response to the Boston Latin parents' letter. And in that letter, you wrote that, quote, "We've described the racial makeup of Boston Latin School as apartheid-like, and the response from these parents and alumni mirrors what we saw from many South Africans who attempted to protect their remaining institutions and leaders as if acknowledging systemic racism is an investment in their own demise." Again, I'm mindful of history.
Right.
And respectful that really what deserves scrutiny is what's happening at Boston Latin. But on the other hand, when multiple sides of this issue are speaking with such strong words, how does that get us further down the path to reconciliation and to improvement of the racial climate?
Well, you got to remember that they elevated the conversation, right? The reality is we've been dealing directly with the administration on these cases. We've given them an alert that goes back a year. We've asked them to do the right thing that goes back a year. We've given them a case that, quite frankly, the headmaster never even told them about, right? So the reality is we responded to that letter, and it is South African-like. It is apartheid-like. The reality is we're a minority-majority city. We're a minority-majority school district. But the last school within the district that's still supermajority white is a school that very few students, after the legal decisions and the decision of Boston Public Schools, is now a lower percentage African-American and other. And quite frankly, I challenge any of your listeners that don't think there are more talented black and brown kids that are equally as smart, that are not capable of going to Boston Latin School and doing well. That pipeline it leads to the best colleges and universities and the best careers and scientists and doctors, we have a vested interest in making sure that pipeline is open for our communities.
You know, to your point, there have been legal decisions in federal court that like rolled back Boston Latin's previous attempts in many years ago to increase its enrollment of minority students. The parents in support of Dr. Lynn Mooney Tata say that, you know, she's done a lot to be sure that as many kids from the Boston Public Schools come to Boston Latin as possible. I'm not nitpicking on the details here, but there's a bigger point that in a way, you and supporters of Dr. Tita you don't see eye to eye on, because I'm wondering about the sense of how do we take steps forward. I know you don't want incremental progress; you want leaps forward, and I get that. But how do we take that leap? I mean, other than removing the layer between the Office of Equity and Superintendent Chang, are there other structural things you think can be done to make leaps forward?
Well, see, I think part of the problem, and sort of in that premise, is that we're all at the table ready to solve the problem. When you read that letter from the alumni and the other communications on the parents, the problem is they haven't been here. They haven't been here on the achievement gap. They haven't been here on the equity issues across the district. They have not been there to come up with an alternative policy that will get that school back up at the numbers it was prior to that decision, where black and brown students were able to go to that school, do well, and then go on to do great things. So the reality is, if you're focused on just your kid, and there's some challenges with the fact that people put their kids in private schools and then bring them back to the system when it's time to take that exam. Most Black and brown folks are stuck within the Boston Public Schools. And then there's an issue over the lack of performance of our schools. We got too many level threes and fours, underperforming schools. So then, therefore, not only are our best and brightest have a barrier to getting in that school, but even some of our best and brightest who are not being equipped to get into that school is a problem for us. So there's a can of worms that are being opened here that goes beyond the tweets, that will go beyond some of these cases that are starting to come up over the next week or two that people don't know about that are coming to us. That will show a history of this. But then there's an issue of whether this school should provide greater access to students of color.
Well, we will continue this conversation, most definitely. Michael Curry, president of the Boston chapter of the NAACP, thank you so much for joining us
today.
Thank
you for having me.
Listeners, let us know what you think. We're at radioboston.org. And again, as I said, we will continue this conversation and hopefully get the voice of the Boston Public Schools in it as well. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.